Thank you. I declare open this hearing of the Senate Education and Employment References Committee's inquiry into the prevention, investigation and prosecution of industrial deaths in Australia. I welcome you all here today. This is a public hearing and a Hansard transcript of the proceedings is being made. The hearing is also being broadcast via the Australian Parliament House website. Before the committee starts taking evidence, I remind all witnesses that in giving evidence to the committee, they are protected by parliamentary privilege. It is unlawful for anyone to threaten or disadvantage a witness on account of evidence given to a committee, and such action may be treated by the Senate as a contempt. It is also a contempt to give false or misleading evidence to a committee. The committee generally prefers evidence to be given in public, but under the Senate's resolutions, witnesses have the right to request to be heard in private session. If a witness objects to answering a question, the witness should state the ground upon which the objection is taken, and the committee will determine whether it will insist on an answer, having regard to the ground on which it is claimed. If the committee determines to insist on an answer, a witness may request that the answer be given in camera. Such a request for in-camera evidence may, of course, also be made at any other time. I would also ask the witnesses to remain behind for a few minutes at the conclusion of their evidence in case the Secretariat needs to clarify any terms or references. And I remind people in the hearing room to ensure that their mobile phones are either switched off or to silent. And I now welcome Ms. Robin Coulson. And I understand that information on parliamentary privilege and the protection of witnesses and evidence has been provided to you. So for the Hansard record, could you please state your full name and the capacity in which you appear before the committee today?
My name is Robin Coulson and I'm here privately.
Thank you. We have received your submission and I thank you for offering to meet with us in Canberra, given we weren't able to schedule you in some of the other hearings. We have generally concluded taking our public evidence now. This, I think, will be the last public hearing. So we have heard a lot of evidence that goes to the very issues you're raising with us. So we're very pleased to hear your view and experiences on these matters. So we now invite you to address the committee and we will then follow that up by some questions.
Okay. I am the mother of David Coulson, who was killed in a workplace accident in Tasmania in 2007 when he was 24 years old. The boat he was working on sank and he swam for 5.5 hours before dying of hypothermia. He was a wonderful person who did not deserve to have his life stolen from him. My public submission for the inquiry is number 29. I hope that you have already read it or will soon read it. Today, when I talk about politicians, I do not mean the committee in attendance because I have had no past dealings with any of you. The following are my thoughts and opinions based on my personal experiences over the last decade plus. There is a link to the coroner's report into my son's death with more details in my submission number 29. Workplace deaths are not just accidents or incidents, they are always avoidable. The language used by government, industry, employers and the media needs to reflect the facts and the horror of sudden death and not be downplayed with lesser words like unfortunate incident. That can be upsetting to the next of kin. Failing to use our family member's name can also be upsetting. This is the first time that I have been given the opportunity to speak to politicians face to face about my concerns, and I thank you for that. I felt the need to talk to you today after the Tasmanian government failed to attend the hearing into industrial deaths in Hobart, further disrespecting workers killed at work. I have heard many people say that this is not the Australia that they grew up in. We are often told by those in positions of power that no one is above the law. I now consider these words to be false and deceptive. For many years, I thought that the system was badly broken, but now I am coming to the conclusion that there is no workable system at all anymore. There is only an illusion of a system used to deceive Australians and achieve nothing positive. Unfortunately, modern politicians only want to talk about themselves and each other. They need to cease this behaviour immediately. Every minute, hour or week that politicians talk about themselves is time wasted that they could be dealing with real issues. Workers are losing their lives while politicians talk about themselves and each other. Losing a child this way is unlike any other type of grief, and it is permanent. A part of our soul is missing. We live a divided life, the time before the workplace accident and the time after. Our grief is magnified by ongoing government cruelty. Coldly ignoring the parents of deceased workers is bullying, emotional cruelty and mental torture. To take away our child and then our voice, rendering us powerless, is unforgivable behaviour from elected representatives who only pretend to care at election time. One specific act that I consider to be extreme bullying that I received from the Tasmanian government was during a phone meeting which was attended by Simon Overland and Martin Shirley and a couple of others. I thought we were to have a discussion about the unresolved issues, but it appeared their minds were already made up. The meeting was loud, aggressive and brutal. An independent review into my son's death was agreed upon. It was later disclosed that the person who had conducted the review had worked in the Tasmanian government for 20 years and most likely knew the people he was reviewing. The Tasmanian government still refuses to tell me if he read the inquest transcripts. More details on my submission. There are many factors that contribute to workplace fatalities apart from the immediate safety issues. The appalling attitude and inaction from industry and government also contribute to workplace deaths. 11 years after my son's death, the Tasmanian government still refuses to answer basic questions. Example, was my son a worker under the Act? Was my son an employee under the Act? Did the person conducting the review into my son's death read or listen to the inquest transcripts? Simple questions that they will not answer yes or no. They treat workplace death fatalities as a joke. Because of my past experiences, I respectfully request that Senators Dunningham, Colbeck and Abetz have limited or no input into this inquiry. They are all aware of the issues in Tasmania and none of them have lobbied publicly on behalf of the Tasmanian workers who have been treated unjustly in death. Industry has had their chance to get workplace deaths down to zero and they have failed. My son's employer, Alan Hansen, Tasmanian Seafoods, has never apologised to me for failing to keep my son safe. More details on my submission. In all these years, neither my son's employer or the abalone industry have bothered to ask us how we are coping or to offer us any support whatsoever. The head of the Tasmanian Abalone Council, Dean Lisson, behaved dreadfully toward David after death and us. I can provide more details about his actions in private if required. There is only one side to this inquiry, the side of the deceased worker. That is why we are here. The sociopathic behaviour of industry shows that they have no remorse or empathy and are only concerned about themselves and what is best for them. When David was killed, a Tasmanian police officer asked the employer and the industry what support they were going to offer the family. They had a meeting and decided that they were not going to offer us any support. The police officer seemed shocked and uncomfortable with their attitude. There is plenty of evidence of despicable behaviour by employers and industry. They do not care about workplace deaths. Even though the coroner found that there were many contributing factors in my son's death, including government departments not doing their jobs adequately, no one was held to account. The Tasmanian government decided that David's life was worth nothing, not even the cost of his funeral. They have actually valued my son at not 1 cent. Clear evidence that Australia has disposable human workers, slave workers in Australia. Details of the relevant act in my submission. Not only are the federal and state government aware, they are both complicit in this despicable obscenity of valuing human life at nothing. State government made the unjust laws and all government hides behind them. I have asked a long list of politicians to stand up for these workers for over a decade. None of them have lobbied for these workers. Neither side of politics cares enough to take the action that is needed to protect the lives of these workers. Instead of laws being made to create fairness, laws have been made to create unfairness, making a mockery of the justice system and endangering lives. Australian workers are now disposable. Workers are being killed by greed and incompetence. If Will Hodgman and Scott Morrison are incapable of finding a solution to this blatant unfairness, then they should both resign immediately. Disrespecting dead workers is not acceptable. Politicians seem more interested in PR parties, taking childish selfies or making propaganda videos about fairness than concerning themselves with protecting workers' lives. The Premier of Tasmania has not only been ignoring myself, but the 4,300 plus people who have signed my two petitions asking for legislative changes that would help protect workers' lives. totally ignoring thousands of Australians. Is Australia no longer a democracy? How can the Premier of a state justify such despicable behaviour? A link to the change.org petition is on my submission, and the second petition is on the Megaphone website. The responsible and relevant politicians must take our concerns seriously. Lara Giddings ignored these issues when she was Premier, and now Will Hodgman is doing the same. While Labor and Liberal blame each other for a lack of progress, and state and federal governments blame each other, Australian workers, often very young, continue to die avoidable deaths. The blame game must end. It is distressing for me every time there is another workplace death, because I know how the family's life has been destroyed as well. It has been almost 11 years since my son was killed, and he has received no justice at all. When did Australian workers become slaves? I have been told by state and federal government that I have covered all options in seeking justice for my son, and that there is no justice. The Tasmanian government has deliberately and knowingly created a situation where the only way the family can have justice is to take the law into their own hands. This is absurd. There is no point even having a government that is this useless, reckless and dangerous. David had his life stolen by the greed and incompetence of others, and the government does not think he deserves justice. There was no employer prosecution, despite them failing in their duty of care, more details in my submission, and there was no funeral or death compensation. The coroner said that David did nothing wrong on the day that he died. I have been told that I have covered all avenues, and neither state or federal laws will provide justice for my son. His life and workplace death meant absolutely nothing to state or federal government. This is disgraceful. I remember a time when MPs found solutions to problems as soon as they were made aware of them. Now politicians and their advisers go out of their way to place obstacles in front of common sense solutions. They do not have the will to right wrongs. They do not care about the Australian people. They tell people like me to be patient. While I've been patient, I have seen many politicians resign, even die. We have had six PMs, three premiers, and still no progress. My hand-signed letter from Bill Shorten when he was Minister for Workplace Relations was the same response Michaela Cash recently gave Jackie Lambie. In a nutshell, they both said, "Not my problem." I disagree. Workplace deaths are everybody's problem. Once that rock has been thrown into the pond, the ripple effects continue to impact everyone forever. I have not heard Bill Shorten condemning the Tasmanian government regarding the unfair, unjust, dangerous and discriminatory Workers' Compensation Act. Why? He has been aware of these issues for many years. You have already heard many arguments for the introduction of industrial manslaughter laws. Not having them is worse than allowing drivers to kill people on the roads without consequence. Our current laws are unworkable, and the lives already lost prove it. It's not government's job to make rich people richer. Politicians need to stop making laws to protect themselves and their circle and start making laws that protect Australians, in this case, Australian workers. After more than a decade of thought and living the nightmare of losing my son, here are my recommendations. 1. Federal industrial manslaughter laws must be introduced as a crime, which it is. Employees should not be able to kill workers and get off scot-free. More details in my submission number 29. My son's employer wasn't even fined. 2. All Australian workers, regardless of their occupation, marital status or anything else, must be included in all state workers' compensation acts as explained in more detail in my submission. As Australian citizens and taxpayers, the federal government has an obligation to them, because we will not tolerate workers being treated like garbage and disrespected in death in this country. No worker's life should ever be valued at $0. This is actually happening and should be considered a crime in itself. 3. For equality and fairness, the lives of all Australian workers must have equal monetary value regardless of their occupation or the state in which they are killed. 4. All workers who have been denied death compensation in the past must have the right to appeal to a federal jurisdiction. 5. The High Court must decide if state legislation is permitted to override the Australian Constitution or if some state legislation needs to be declared null and void. If not, we could end up with rogue states in Australia if we don't already have them. More specific details in my submission. 6. Body transportation must be covered by the employer or the state government where the death occurred. If not covered by insurance, It is unfair to burden the families with this extra expense of many thousands of dollars. 7. A federal liaison officer or similar must be appointed for the families of all workers killed at work to assist with the daunting process. 8. The family's local federal MP must make contact with the family within 2 weeks to acknowledge the death. It must be part of their job and they cannot refuse to meet with the next of kin, as Liberal MP Peter Hendy inexcusably did with us. 9. The current Prime Minister and State Premiers must publicly acknowledge that they have not been behaving with empathy, compassion, kindness towards the families of workplace death victims. This is important. 10. All politicians and their staff must develop and abide by a code of conduct when dealing with these and other serious tragedies / deaths. Any government employees who continue to behave badly must face immediate dismissal. Examples would be ignoring emails and letters, speaking rudely, scoffing at the death, disrespecting the deceased, lying, not answering questions, slamming the phone down, blocking people from social media for talking about workplace death issues. Two nasty women who worked for a well-known senior politician got a shock when they realised I had been listening to their diatribe for 30 minutes. This unprofessional attitude is evident in all levels of government, all. Either politicians don't know or they are condoning it. It needs to stop. The next of kin have enough to deal with. 11. For total transparency of government and correlation of figures, there needs to be an add-on inquiry or a later inquiry into all suicides in Australia directly or indirectly caused by the government and government decisions. That data must be released to the public. 12. Employers who have a workplace fatality must immediately become ineligible for any public government, local, state or federal awards or any government funding, loans or handouts. All previous awards received should be rescinded, if not relinquished, after a workplace fatality. 13. Any political party who has accepted donations from an employer or company who has had a workplace fatality must, by the introduction of new federal legislation, hand all past monies received back into internal revenue so as not to be seen as biased in any prosecution decisions regarding the death of the worker. This is imperative to ensure that the system is not corrupted. 14. No employer should totally escape prosecution when they have a fatality. If the state, for whatever reason, refuses to prosecute, then the case must be fully investigated by a federal authority. This must happen to avoid the impression of possible corruption, bias or cover-up. 15. If any future loss of life occurs because the media, including our ABC, have turned a blind eye to known facts brought to their attention, then they should be considered accomplices and charged accordingly. Politicians, industry and the media need to get serious about preventing workplace deaths. 16. Australia desperately needs a Federal Integrity and Corruption Commission watchdog with far-reaching powers to thoroughly investigate complaints, including retrospectively, about anybody, regardless of status, and recommend prosecutions where applicable. 17. That a federal government body, agency, tribunal type setup be organised to resolve all issues where Australians have been left in limbo land with no mediation type process available. It is unfair that the next of kin of people killed at work are left in limbo land for years. 18. To end the myriad of excuses given to families when death compensation is denied, we must have a federal government body to fine each state or territory a set amount, say $1 million, which could be deducted from their GST whenever they have a workplace death. This will not only ensure that they take workplace deaths more seriously, the excuse that there is no money in the kitty for death or funeral compensation will not be able to be used ever again. 19. It should be introduced into federal law that employers, industry, the media and anyone else who are not permitted to lie, tell untruths, misrepresent, defame and misinform others about the deceased worker and the circumstances of the death. This disgraceful behaviour happens too often from those with their own agenda. They must be reined in with hefty fines so as to protect the integrity of the deceased worker. There is currently only one state in Australia where defamation of a deceased person is recognised, and it costs tens of thousands of dollars to pursue action. This is another unjust situation that must be addressed. I can provide more information in private if needed. 20, that any politicians who have been ignoring issues relating to the protection of workers' lives resign immediately before more lives are lost. 21, that the government ensures that no Australian worker works without insurance, a no insurance, no work law full stop, compulsory like seat belts. 22, that it be declared illegal to unfairly exclude Australian workers from workers' compensation acts in all states and territories. A Labor senior advisor went through the archives in Tasmania and could find no reason or record of these laws being introduced or why they were introduced. Therefore, they need to be removed from the Act immediately before more lives are lost. Relevant Act details in my submission. 23, that the next of kin be legally entitled to administer the estate of the deceased worker regardless of where they live in Australia. This is currently illegal in Tasmania. If the worker dies intestate, as many young people are, the family is forced to employ a Tasmanian lawyer and cover this cost in full themselves. Families of the deceased can spend over $100,000 when a barrister for the inquest at thousands of dollars a day, airfares and accommodation, funeral and body transportation are included. An unreasonable and unfair financial burden for families. 24, that the length of time between the worker's death and the availability to prosecute the employer be extended or possibly have no time limit. Reasons and details on my submission. 25, that the length of time for the next of kin to take legal action against the employer have a longer time limit or no time limit attached. It is currently 3 years in Tasmania. 26, that paid government trolls and spin doctors be made illegal. They are an unethical and obscene waste of public money and potentially contribute to Australian deaths by creating a fake illusion that everything is okay when it is not. In summary, Will Hodgman and our current PM, Scott Morrison, must immediately apologise to the Tasmanian and Australian people for the despicable way that governments have treated Australians killed at work and their families. They must take immediate action to resolve the serious issues I have raised. They can no longer turn a blind eye. Too many lives have been lost. I thank the committee for the opportunity to talk about the realities faced by the families. I ask the committee to make strong and carefully considered recommendations to protect all Australian workers in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coulson. Let us say, we very much regret the death of your son, and we have heard lots of evidence about the very traumatic process the families and others go through. We have also heard lots of evidence about the inadequacy of the support services in all jurisdictions, not just simply Tasmania. I also want to say to you that I'm sorry that you've had such a poor experience engaging with your elected representatives across the whole spectrum, and I notice you didn't spare anyone.
I did.
Well, just us, maybe. But I am sorry you've had such a poor experience, and I hope through the process of this inquiry we may be able to go some way towards rebuilding that trust. However, the way I read your submission, and I thank you for all those recommendations, but there are three main areas that I would like to get some more information about you. And one is, as I've said, we've heard lots of evidence about the poor experience, but the actual details of how you were contacted, how you were supported, what information you were provided with through the processes of the inquiry, and decisions made about potential prosecutions, how you actually, your direct experiences with that. The area that you've covered about the jurisdictional issue, I don't think there's anyone on the committee really, after going through the evidence we've got, that will not support a strong recommendation to say that workers should not be excluded from protection simply by the nature of the way they're paid. And I know the committee will be thinking about some strong recommendations. Tasmania's not the only jurisdiction that applies that. Queensland also applies that. And there's, so that is on our radar as well. And the third area I'd like to take you to is the statute of limitations
and your concern. And again, I think this worries the committee, and we've also taken more evidence on this, that by the time all the inquests and inquiries are done, the ability of different jurisdictions to prosecute has expired. And I think that is also a weakness and something the committee is turning its mind to. So maybe I take you back to the first one, and I know you've expressed some enormous disappointment about the way you were engaged with, but if you could maybe take us through some of the specifics that happened or didn't happen that would have made, I'm not trying to say your experience of a family death better, but I mean the ability to actually understand what happened and be part of the process.
What is your specific question?
Well, a number of people have told us that they found out about the death through social media or through other purposes first, that then there was actually no engagement at all with any WorkSafe inspectors or even the police about, well, what had happened, how it happened, when it happened. And really the whole tragic experience just continues on from day one. So I'd like to know how you were engaged with, if at all. If the answer is no one engaged with you at all, well, that's might be the answer.
Pretty well, it's difficult to get anything out of anybody. There were some good people. One person who did some work for the coroner's inquest, he was very good, but no, it's just a schmozzle. For a start, it shouldn't happen. It happens because people are doing the wrong thing. It goes right back to government at the start. That's why the death happened.
So you've said in your submission
government
that
and
people
greed,
have hung
greed
up
and
on
incompetence.
You, that people won't respond to emails. Mm. What was it you were trying to find out at that time when people weren't responding?
Those three questions that I asked, they still won't tell me. They're simple questions. How can they not answer them? They won't answer them.
Mm. All right. Senator Billick?
Thanks. Ms. Carlson, can you just talk us through your concerns? Senator Marshall mentioned before about the time it takes for a coronial inquiry and then, you know, that leading into people maybe not being held accountable.
But they can be prosecuted before the inquiry finishes.
Okay, so can you explain to us why in your son's situation, in David's situation, that might not have happened?
The Tasmanian government would be the only people who could explain that, and they are not saying anything to anybody.
Right. Wouldn't they generally, though, and you know, I'm not defending any person or having a go at any particular government, because I think it is important we keep this as bipartisan as we can. Wouldn't it be that they would need to wait for the result of the coronial inquiry to know exactly what charges might be laid or anything?
Well, I thought that sounded reasonable when they said that they would wait.
But the length of time.
But the problem is,
is problematical. Is that what you're telling us?
After the coroner released his findings, they said it was too late.
Yeah, okay.
And you've got to remember that the employer can delay the inquest as well.
When they said it was too late, did they say based on the evidence now before us, that we would have prosecuted except that it was too late? Or
you can try and get them to answer that.
Right, okay.
And the other question I wanted to talk to or wanted you to tell us a bit more about was the cost of transporting David's body and what sort of impact that's had and who you think should have had to pay for it.
Well, the parents have nothing to do with the workplace death. They don't want it to happen. It's horrible. Why are the parents put to such a huge financial disadvantage after the death?
Can I ask how much it cost?
Over $100,000.
And so where did the body have to go from and to?
From from Tasmania, north coast, I presume, to where we live.
Which is?
Which is... Is this a public... This is public?
Yeah.
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 Oh, so you don't... Sorry, yeah, it's fine, you don't know, sorry.
Is it still
in Tasmania?
No, right,
okay.
So it had to be taken... David had to be flown across Bass Strait right. And then in a vehicle, the funeral people, I guess, organise... Oh, no, there might have been another plane involved and then a vehicle.
Right, okay. And so that cost you $100,000?
No, I'm sorry. Talking about body transportation, the funeral, the barrister for the inquest, because, you know, it's hard to get questions answered if you don't have anyone to represent you, and the fact that David died intestate meant that we had to employ a Tasmanian lawyer by Tasmanian law to sort his Tasmanian stuff out. We couldn't do it ourselves. What I've given you is 1% of the drama behind the scenes. There's a lot going on that people have no idea about. And, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah, I think what we're trying to get at, and please, anyone else, if you want to jump in, do so, because I know the time's a bit limited today. But I think what we're trying to get at is to find out, and as Senator Marshall has said, we've heard from another of other bereaved parents and wives and husbands and children and all sorts of things through this process is. You know, the personal impact and what we can do, and you've given us a number of recommendations that we will obviously have a look at, but we'd like to get, you know, the personal stories from people. Your opening speech obviously did tell us quite a lot, but have you got a breakdown of costs that you might be able to send to us?
I probably could, yes, but then there's the costs that, for example, David paid $10,000 for a dive licence entitlement. David was a diver.
Yep.
He paid $10,000 for a dive licence entitlement, number 81. His accountant said it was like a car. It's an asset. Okay? The police said to me, no one else will be diving number 81. Then we find out someone else is diving 81, and I rang up the department in Tasmania and said, what is going on? Why is someone else diving on David's dive licence entitlement? Now, they had changed the name without contacting the estate.
Right.
Okay? That's just one thing. There are many things that happened.
Okay. Senator Patterson.
Thank you, Chair. Ms Colson, thank you for your evidence, and I apologise that I had to attend the Chamber for a division before during your opening statement, so I missed the latter part of it. It sounds like you had specific recommendations that you wanted the committee to consider. Could you just briefly go over those again for my benefit, given that I missed part of it?
I don't think so.
There were 25 of them.
Okay.
Very long. Well, maybe, you know, which are the... we've got them on Hansard. But
I think they're all important.
Yeah, all right, they're all important. Are there any, and I'm not suggesting this is all we're going to do, but if you were to say prioritise the top three, which ones would you be saying to us?
I think they're all important. All right. Because the thing is, it's a whole thing. You can't just do this little bit and this little bit. I mean, it's all helpful, but you've still got a big mess. If you clean up this area and this area, you've still got a big mess. It's a big mess. There's so much needs to be done. And basically, politicians need to start taking workplace deaths seriously and stop worrying about things that are not important. What is, you know, there's not many things that are important. Life and death things are important.
Yeah, well, look, I can assure you everyone on this committee is taking it very seriously, and I think all of my colleagues from all sides of the chamber, you know, do. But, you know, I do understand when people have a poor experience that, you know, they want to hold people responsible, and ultimately we are responsible, so have to accept some of the disappointment that you have, and accept that we can and should do better, and hence we've got this inquiry where we're trying to look at some of the problems, and hopefully we'll be able to make some solid, you know, well-supported recommendations to make things better, and that is why we're here. Did you have anything else? I know Senator Senator Faruqi.
Yep, thank you, Chair. And thank you so much, Ms. Coulson, for coming here and providing evidence. I have read through your submission and the coronial inquest report as well. And I must say they make for heartbreaking reading, and I'm so sorry for your loss. A couple of the questions that I wanted to ask have already been asked, but and I apologised as well, I had to run down for the division. So I looked at your petition in your submission, and you request a few changes that the Tasmanian government needs to make as well. I'm not sure if you've told the committee what those changes are, but I would love to hear what the changes are that you want the Tasmanian government to make, so that no one else experiences what you have in your family.
So the two main things that I have in my petitions are, number one, the introduction of industrial manslaughter laws, and number two, that all workers are included in the Act, no excluding workers from the Act.
So David was obviously did not come under the Act.
No.
Am I right?
Yes. A lot of people don't come under the Act, and a lot of people don't know that they don't come under the Act.
Yeah.
Even people without dependents would not know that they are not under the Act. For example, if a husband and if there's a husband and wife, and the husband gets killed, if the wife's working, she's not dependent on him.
So the Act needs to change, but also how people find out about it needs to change as well. Or that they're not told, I think, is a big problem.
Well, they would have no idea that they're not covered. No idea.
And the other one was the manslaughter laws, did you say?
Industrial manslaughter laws
that need to change.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, but can you... Someone would have done an investigation, and I suspect, given your submission, you're unhappy with that investigation. But can you explain to me how that investigation went and what you saw as the deficiencies in it?
The problem was when I started asking questions and I got the runaround, and the person was very evasive and didn't answer emails, and then somebody else would pop up and say they've gone off on leave, and I'd say, well, who's in charge? Well, no one's in charge. And all this, it was like, it wasn't right, it wasn't professional, and it should not have happened.
Right. So there was an investigation, then a coroner's inquiry. Are you satisfied with the outcome?
The coroner's inquest was fine. I asked for an independent investigation because of the evasiveness of, and you know, what went on with the first one, and the fact that the employer had admitted at the inquest that he wasn't following occupational health and safety laws, working to Australian standards, following rules and regs, had no policies and procedures in place for his staff to know what to do when a boat didn't come back on time, and all these things. So he wasn't prosecuted, he wasn't even fined, nothing happened. And so I asked for an independent inquiry, but the independent inquiry turned out that apparently the person conducting it had worked for the state government for 20 years and knew the people he was investigating, allegedly. And when I asked, because when I read his heavily redacted short investigation, it didn't sound like he had read the inquest transcripts. So when I ask this question, they are refusing to tell me. Now, I don't know how you can have a thorough investigation without reading the inquest transcripts.
So, Ms. Coulson, the only reason, I guess, that they weren't prosecuted was because the limitations period for criminal prosecution had expired by the time that the coronial inquiry was finished. Am I right?
Well, they could have prosecuted before the time ran out.
Yeah, yeah.
It was possible to do that.
All right. Well, we've just got a couple of moments left. I think that's all the questions the committee have. Is there anything you feel that you want to tell us?
No, thank you.
Well, look, thank you very much for your submission, and thank you for your presentation to us today and the extra recommendations, and we have them on hand, Sarah, and we'll give them consideration. So thank you very much, and we'll now suspend or adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.